Listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
God is King forever. Let the nations tremble, throned above the cherubim, by all the earth adored. He is great in Zion, high above all peoples. Praise Him with fear, for holy is the Lord.
Reading today, once again, from Paul's letter to the Colossians, a message for them and a message for us. And especially we need to pray that it will still be for us, that we are a church as the church at Colossae truly was. Reading from the third chapter, verse 18, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do all it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." And then the first verse of chapter 4, "Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven." And then for all of them and for all of us, the second verse of the fourth chapter, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." Let's pray. Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ, having been directed not only to pray, but to continue in prayer. And especially we give thanks that we can pray in and through the name of another, in Thy name, Lord Jesus. And we do come wanting to be hid in that name, wanting to be known in that name, knowing that only in that name is there righteousness, the perfect one. And we pray that we might be hid in him, and we might have, even as these Colossians were written to earlier in this epistle, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We pray, Father, that myself and each one that hears today will have thee, Lord Jesus, as the hope of glory, especially for the glory, first of all, of the Father while we're here on earth, and then as well that we might have glory eternally ourselves through faith, faith in, Lord Jesus, your name, your doings, your dying, your being buried, rising again, all according to the Scripture. And that we might have that faith that comes by hearing, and hearing by thy word. And we pray, Father, that thou wilt not allow tradition to enter in, to take away the word, and to make the word void in our understanding or in our preaching, that we might preach this Holy Scripture, and not ever to let the word of man interfere with it. And we pray that we might be brought back to it wherever there are traditions that have overruled and ruled out and made void thy commandments, thy believing, and especially at the gospel. We pray, Father, that that gospel might not only be blessed as it is known, but it may also soon be sent to those who have never heard its message. We think of the many heathens that parents would not let their children even to hear it or to want it, and are taught hatred instead of love, and doings and works instead of faith. And we pray for those homes, that especially the children in those homes, we pray that through the airwaves thy word might soon reach to them, and the printed page where there are those forbidden to preach it in some nations. And we pray for those who are being persecuted because they do preach it and believe it. We pray, Father, for thy blessing on all who are thy children. And we pray thy blessing also in calling many to become thy children that have heard thy voice but have not yet truly repented and believed the gospel of Christ. We pray that there might be more laborers called to bring the word soon to every creature. And we pray that there might yet be time in our generation for that. We know that it will take place for Jew and for Gentile. We know there will be a multitude called out, but we do not know when, Father, and what period of time that will fall in. But we do know there will be from every nation, every tongue, every tribe. And as we pray for these things first concerning thy kingdom, all by faith, we pray also for the things of the temporal life. We give thanks for the blessings in nature that we are so richly blessed with. And we pray for those who do not have these blessings, are in suffering and hunger and homeless because of them, and also the many in war, the many that are persecuted, the many that have been carried away from their own homes and brought to other lands and terrible situations. We pray, Father, for thy blessing on them and the temporal needs that they have. We pray for other needs as well in the government, for our leaders, that we might have leaders taught of thee, that we might still lead through in our time a quiet and peaceable life, that we may not have the freedom taken away. And we pray for those who do not have that freedom. We ask thy blessing in the schools, in the workplace, that blessing may be in the hearts of not only husbands and wives, parents and children, but servants and masters as well, all through Christ. Amen. As we continue in this letter, having considered for some time the call of God to husbands and wives, wives here and the letter to the Ephesians mentioned first, that wives submit to your husbands and husbands love your wives, how we need to hear that command and how we have to have Christ in us to do it. Christ Jesus, who said, "Without me you can do nothing." We cannot be good husbands without Christ. We cannot be good wives without Christ. We cannot be good children without Christ. There is certainly a difference, one by the other, and we ought all to heed his command. We have no excuse not to heed it. But if we do heed it rightly and we do it rightly, it can only be done by having the Spirit of Christ. Having it in teaching, when Paul says to another church, "Let this mind be in you which is in Christ Jesus." And as we already mentioned from the letter to this church, Christ in you, which is the hope of glory. And as he said just before he died, as recorded in John chapter 15, that we are to abide in him and he in us, and we need it both ways. Also, Paul, writing to the church at Rome, stated, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So we are not his in possession, and we certainly are not like him in power if we do not have his Spirit. And we need to know that. We need to know the need of the new birth, the Spirit of God being given, as Christ said in Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And we want to enter it by faith, and we want to have a faith that works, a faith that is called love, which faith which worketh by love, and the obedience of faith. And that's what Paul is here speaking of when he says to these Colossians, beginning with the third chapter, if you be risen with Christ, then seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. That is the life of sanctification. In the first chapter, he talked about justification, having sins forgiven through the blood, coming to peace with God through the blood of the cross of Christ. And now he is saying, now live like it. Be thankful for it. Obey God. And if we're truly sorry for our sin and all our disobedience, all our unbelief, we will want to believe the Word of God for our life. We will want to obey. And certainly God, as we sang, is worthy of that. Think of that song again. God is King forever. Let the nations tremble. Throned above the cherubim by all the earth adored. He is great in Zion. High above all peoples. Praise him with fear, for holy is the Lord. We should know that from the beginning, but we can only begin to know it rightly after we have been called of God to repentance toward him and then to faith in Christ. God's call in repentance humbling us, God's faith in Christ enabling us. And as Paul said, repeating those first verse again, if you be risen with Christ, so wonderfully portrayed in baptism, dying with him, rising to newness of life. That's baptism, being immersed, signaling our death, coming out of the water, signaling our new life in Christ. And here they are living in that way, and Paul continues to exhort them to do so more and more. And verse 17, which we read other weeks, not today, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Doing it in his name, doing it in his strength, and doing it in giving thanks. How thankful every Christian can be that God stopped them, saved them, and then set them on a path of a new life. And if you haven't had that, then you can't sing with John Newton, once I was lost, but now I'm found. Once I was blind, but now I see. Singing with him also, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. A wretch. We sing it, and it's true. We are that. We are wretched sinners. And wretched sinners can have that new life in Christ, being forgiven and then risen. And in doing so, I would repeat once more what we have been saying the weeks past, which I'm afraid many, many, many have not done and are not doing. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. And that carries with it, and should carry with it, a right government, a right church, all in agreement. Husbands over their wives, but the church and government over us as well. And now we have a government that wants to give wives permission to kill their unborn. Wives to be murderers. Husbands, where are you? Are you trying to stop that wicked deed? Instead of voting for those in government that will encourage murder, encourage. I had a letter the other day from one of the senators wanting me to support them to give the woman their rights. Right to do wrong? Yes, we've come to the place where we call good evil and evil good. Like Isaiah said, what happened? And Paul would talk about the perilous times. And so when we need to lift up our voice like a trumpet, like Isaiah said, and show my people their transgression. Wives, listen to God. Husbands, listen to God. Government leaders, listen to God, your Creator. And your judge. He's judging you right now. He may not send judgment down, but he will. And for all those that don't repent, come under submission to God. And that's what it says here. Wives, submit yourselves and your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. And don't go and say like Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I shall obey him? He found out, and he knows now. In the depths of hell. You want to join Pharaoh? Many have and many will. Husbands, we need to do this as Christ did with the church. Christ, the perfect one, could love the sinful church. Every husband ought to be able to love. And we have a whole different situation. Like sometimes we say of our wives, the better half. It ought to be easy to love if we have such a blessing and such a privilege. Not everyone does, but those of us who do, we have no reason to do otherwise than what God says. Love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things. Think of all the children that don't have parents. Think of those who have been recently kidnapped and the terribleness of it, snatched from their homes. All of that is going on, and for those who then have parents, be thankful and do as God said to children, obey your parents in all things. If we go back to the law of Moses, we read, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that your days may be long in the land which the Lord your God giveth you. I've repeated the saying that I heard much more when as a child than I do now. As goes the home, so goes the nation. And if the home is right, we can believe that God will bless us and we'll live long in the land. Our days might be numbered. How long we have freedom. How long we even have life. Death could be around the corner, as it was for Judah. Died four different ways: famine, pestilence, noisome beast, and the sword. Time of Jeremiah. We may be near such a time. I fear it. Pray for revival. Pray for awakening. But God may say, like he did then, pray not for this people. Hopefully we can still have the blessing that the Colossians had, as we read. Chapter 4, verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Are we doing it with thanksgiving to God, our Creator? Or are we bowing to the lie of evolution? The theory that's only a theory, and a very poor one. Can you imagine yourself coming into this world by the way of evolution? How? Evolution would bring a man and a woman together and then be able to have a child from evolution? It don't make sense. Not even common sense. We just so glibly say these things. that go with it. I don't care to repeat it all. But it's time we believe in our Creator. And He's the one that created male and female. He's the one that said to the husband, it's not good for the man to live alone, and gave him a helpmeet. And then tells us what God have joined together, let not man put asunder. I didn't intend to stay on this long, but the terribleness is there every week and all the time. I know of people going through homes that are in the process of being broken, torn apart, allowing Satan to have his way, becoming children of disobedience rather than children saying like Paul did, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And His word tells you, going back to Moses, Malachi says, God hates putting away. And then we have the teaching of Christ, Matthew, Mark, Luke. And we have it then from Paul, Romans and 1 Corinthians and Ephesians and now Colossians. And as well from the pen of Peter, as we have read it. But going on, Paul not only speaks to wives, husbands, children, then to parents, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. What has to be done in patience, has to be done in love. It is true that God tells us plainly in the Word, spare the rod and spoil the child. It isn't always easy to do it, and it isn't always done rightly. Like one judge said to the person before him, he said, I too spanked my children, but not the way you did it. And it was misuse. It was abuse. It needs to be done God's way, in patience, and through Christ. Fathers, myself included, we can be fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers. We need Christ to do it rightly. It goes all the way. Without me, you can do nothing. No grandfathers can be right without Christ. Yes, we can live sometimes in measures of agreement, harmony, but not like with Christ. What a difference if you be risen with Christ. And I want to keep that there to the forefront, the beginning and the end. And we will see it over and over and over throughout Scripture. Never to be forgotten like the Galatians did. And even the church at Ephesus that we also read from, the direction to wives, husbands, children. And they left their first love. Evidently love to God, love to each other, love to the truth. They were in danger. And with a warning, except you repent, I will remove the candlestick, which means take away the Holy Spirit, the only one that can lead us into all truth, the only one that can take the things of Christ and show them to us, the only one that can, in the beginning, subdue us and give us the new birth. We need Him to continue the church. We need Him to begin for those that grow up in the church and those that are should be added to the church even daily, such as there was on the day of Pentecost. We need that. We need Him as well as Christ and the Father, all of it together, and their word to us. Not only do we have wives, husbands, fathers, children, but in the 22nd verse here, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Not with eye service. If I want to put it in everyday language, not just when the boss is there. God is always watching. He's always there. Paul says, as unto the Lord and not unto men. Singleness of heart, fearing God. Yes, there can be no good servant without the fear of the Lord. We read in the Psalms, we read in Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of understanding, the beginning. Until we have the fear of the Lord, we don't have that beginning. We're foolish, wicked,
deceitful, proud, dissatisfied, unthankful. And we've had much of that in our country, and we still do. The strife, the strikes, and time is going. I want to bring the other in as well. Chapter 4, verse 1, Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Every master has a master. Yes, there is only one of whom we can say and sing as we did, God is King forever. The last line of the last verse, faithful and holy is the Lord our God. Faithful and holy, and all that we need. Thinking of servants, we might say, but my master is this or that. But listen to what Peter says to servants. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if you be buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently. But if you do well and suffer for it, take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Whether we are husbands or wives or children or servants or masters, all of us need to be led to Christ. And that's what Paul is here saying. Servants, be in this relationship to your masters, but then pointing to Christ, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. And then leading on into the gospel, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself unto him that judgeth rightly, who himself bare our sins in his body on the tree. Yes, the gospel is the answer for all of our problems, and we need to believe it fully, truly, rightly. The gospel and all that Christ said. Sadly, too often we've come short. We think of the Reformation. We think of great things happening. But sad things were there also. Luther, the nobles, the peasants. The peasants thought the nobles ought to treat them better after they professed to be Christians, Protestants. But they didn't. And the peasants rebelled. And they ended up with the peasants' war, the nobles' war, one against another. How terrible! They need to hear the whole Word of God, not only to be saved, to have our sins forgiven, but to love our neighbor as ourself. And then God's way, always right in Christ.
To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord.